take our book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, we are in chapter 2, and we begin at verse number 10, I believe. Verse number 10. We'll read verses 10, 11, and 12, 2 Peter 2:10. You got it already? Are you ready? But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Verse 11, for as angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own destruction. All right, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. We're talking about the Lord, how the Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly into punishment and reserve the righteous from judgment so that they're free, out of temptation. Then in verse 10 it says, but chiefly, what does chiefly mean?
Mainly.
Mainly? What is it?
First,
all right, chiefly, first of all, mainly, the most important. Them that walk after the flesh. What does it mean to walk after the flesh?
It's the opposite of walking after the Spirit.
Opposite of walking after the Spirit. What does it say in Romans 8? Ye are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, but there are many that are in the flesh. Who are those that are completely and totally in the flesh?
Lost.
Unsaved people, that's right. Christians, how many natures does a Christian have?
Two.
What are they? What natures? What are the two natures?
The old man.
New nature and the old nature. All right. The flesh, the spirit. When will we discover or get rid of this flesh?
When we die.
When we die. What are some of the teachings about that? What are some of the teachings that some people say about the flesh? The Methodists, the Holy Rollers, and the Pentecostal, some of them, and Methodists.
They believe you lose your salvation.
Lose your salvation, all right.
Because they believe in total sanctification on this earth, and so they believe they are sinlessly perfect. And consequently, when they sin, if they do sin, they'll lose their salvation. Mm-hmm. And they'll have to, in their theology, will have to trust Christ a second time. There's no eternal security for those people that believe in sinless perfectionism.
That's their doctrine. What do some of the people teach as far as the flesh? Some of the Methodists and Arminians teach the flesh. What do they believe?
They're just one. All things are made new. This is 1 Corinthians.
All right.
Is it 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians?
But these that are believe as Dan said, entire sanctification, that means they reach a certain point where they have no flesh. It's all gone, see? Completely holy, complete holiness. See, that's what the holiness people teach us. That they have no tug of the flesh. Once they reach that stage, perfect, that's all they have. No flesh to push them out. Dan?
Well, it's just confusing, because if they believe in sin, then it's possible to achieve sinless perfection, and yet it's also possible at any moment to become lost. I don't understand how they reconcile those two.
No, I don't either. Maybe when they get to be sinlessly perfect, they can't lose their salvation. Maybe that's their belief. Anyway, but the flesh, we must reconcile that. And in what chapter, in what book, does Paul deal with the subject of the flesh and the spirit?
Romans.
Well, Romans is one.
Romans,
yeah. What else?
Galatians.
What chapter?
Five.
Chapter 5. That's right. Talks of fruit of the spirit, verses 22 and 23, and the works of the flesh, 24, 25, 26. And so that's for Christians. And should Christians walk after the flesh? No, we should not. We should walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. But here it says in verse number 10, chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness. What would be encompassed and involved with uncleanness? The lust of uncleanness.
Impurity,
certainly that's part of it. All kinds of filthiness, uncleanness of all sorts, all kinds and descriptions. Whether that's
carnal Christians.
What is it?
They're carnal Christians.
Carnal Christians, yes.
They're not world-long in the spirit.
Isn't that true? Unbelievers, look at the world today. I mean, look at your, even your comedy. In the old days, funny was, you know, genuinely funny. Today, apparently nothing is funny unless it's sexual, some kind of deviation or that sort of thing, some kind of uncleanness.
Yes, that's right. So all kinds of immorality, whether it's adultery, whether it's homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, all these different things, complete uncleanness and filthiness, and chiefly, God's judging those chiefly in the walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. What is, how do you define government? What does that word mean?
Rulers.
Rulers, right? What's that, Kathy?
Cheating.
What is it?
Cheating.
Well, despise government, cheating for government, that's possible, but government generally means what? What does it mean to govern?
To rule.
To rule, like, okay. To rule, Bill, did you say that? I didn't hear that, that's
yes.
Right. To rule, right? To control ourselves. And so, do the unsaved lusting after their uncleanness want to be controlled?
No.
No, they don't. They have a complete uncontrollability. That's what they want to do. Despise government, control. Presumptuously. What does presumptuous mean? What one sin in the Old Testament was not covered?
Sin of presumption.
Sin of presumption? When they willfully and willingly go after something, that sin is not covered, no offering for sin. Anna?
And David said, keep back my heart from presumptuous sins.
Yes, David said in the Psalm, that's good. Keep my heart back from presumptuous sin. In other words, full knowing what we're doing, then we sin. That's presumptuous. And then, self-will, what's that mean?
What's the word?
Self-willed.
Stubborn.
Stubborn is one of them, yes.
Their own mind rules.
Their own mind rule. They don't want to be ruled by anyone else or by the scriptures or rules or regulations or laws. Self-willed, they are. I'm not afraid to speak evil of dignities. What would be dignities?
Important
rulers. Would God be one of these dignities? Afraid to speak evil? The Lord is certainly a dignity of someone in power. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that this little film I told you this morning about the cartoon. Can't think of the name of this cartoon, but for children, they got these people dressed up and they have God just blasphemously. He was drinking in place of his God dressed up like a big white fellow with white robes and a big mess and a big beard, and he's drinking beer at a beer hall, and he's got Christ, he's got the Lord Jesus Christ, he's wicked and sinful and doing stuff. That's terrible for kids. They like cartoons, you know. This particular cartoon is just awful. It's just poisoning the minds of our children. But speaking evil of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, dressed up in terrible things. In verse 11, whereas angels, now what did we say angels were?
Messengers.
How would we define?
Messengers.
Messengers? And what classifications are there in angels?
Fallen
angels and
holy angels.
And then different angels have got different, you know, classifications, like the cherubim and the seraphim and different other things. But basically, they're fallen or they're holy and not fallen angels. But these are angels which are greater in power and might. In what way are angels greater in power and might than human beings?
Well, they don't die.
All right.
That's
right.
I mean, they're a different sort of being.
Yeah. And?
Well, they have powers above what mankind has to do with various things. We don't see them generally, but they're the superhuman powers.
Mm-hmm. Are they totally omnipotent?
No.
No, they're not omnipotent. More power than man, but not all powerful. But they're angels that are good, and then some that are very bad. Who is the lead angel of the bad ones?
Lucifer.
Okay, Lucifer. Satan himself. He's called by four different names, I think, in the book of Revelation.
The dragon.
The devil.
The serpent.
The great adversary.
And Satan, and of course the adversary. You've got to pick five different names. The angel of light, all kinds of descriptions. But the angels, as he says here, which are greater and more powerful and might, but bring not railing accusations against them. What is a railing accusation?
Unfounded,
all right. Untrue.
It's a very strong. Forceful.
Malicious.
So the, yeah, Dick.
We have a similar description of angels in the book of Jude. Michael. And this has to do with the angels bringing accusation against someone, and even the angels were reluctant or didn't bring accusation. Accusation was left for the judgment of God. But the verse reads, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee."
Yes, so he didn't accuse anything in that regard, and the Lord rebuked as far as Moses, that angel. Now, the angels railing accusations against them, who's the them referred back to?
These
people that are walking after the flesh in verse 10, lust of uncleanness, and
referring to the dignities. It was it says, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Mm-hmm. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not really an accusation against them before the Lord.
You're just referring to the last phrase there. Probably all of the phrases in verse 10 would be applied, right?
Yeah.
All these people that are out of line.
Dignity, that's what she was thinking.
I thought I was contrasting the behavior of angels with the behavior of those that walk after the flesh.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. I think in verse 10 there's a number of descriptions of these people. And one of them is not afraid to speak evil of dignities and other things, walking after the lust of the flesh, despising governments, presumptuous. But not the accusation against them before the Lord. Then verse 12, but these, who are these referring to again?
The unrighteous.
The unrighteous. It's so all the ones that are described, right, in verse 10?
In chapter 2. Right. First one, false prophets.
False prophets, that's right. All these in front, that's good. False prophets. What does God call them in verse 12?
Natural brute beasts.
Natural brute beasts. Now, what would a brute beast be?
Does brute have to do with their strength? Or
maybe. What else?
I would think of a brute beast as not being very intelligent.
All right, sort of stupid and dumb, like an animal. Although some animals are sharp.
No manners.
Wouldn't this point to a lack of conscience? I mean, animals just do what they do.
Yeah.
They don't have any sense of right or wrong.
Right. So that's the sense of natural. And the brute beast looks like an animal. See, it's terrible. Man is people, some will refer to men as animals, but animals are not people. When God created man in his own image, then what did he do after that? Who degraded then afterwards?
The animals.
All the animals, and the fish and the birds and various other things. So they're separate. We have a separate part of it. Although people, natural people, unsaved people say, we're just an animal. That's all we are.
Okay? There's nothing about the animals being in the image of God.
Right, exactly. So there's a great distinction in it. And so these natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. What does that mean? Made to be taken and destroyed. What's God going to do with unsaved people that he's referring to here?
They'll
be taken to hell, that's right. They'll be taken and not completely annihilated, but destroyed in the sense of made completely inoperative and ineffective. Destroyed in that sense of... And then, what do these people do that are all these in this chapter 2? Speak evil of things that they understand. What does it mean to speak evil?
Speak bad things.
Bad things, all right. Speak bad things. And of those that...
They understand not.
Understand not. Things they don't understand. Now, do some people talk about things they don't understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot of things people say they really don't understand, but they still talk, isn't it?
The unbeliever does not understand anything of the scriptures, of the gospel of salvation,
mm-hmm.
in his own, unless he is shown, first of all, how to be saved and become mm-hmm. a Christian, become mm-hmm. a believer.
That's right.
In his unbelieving state, he is unable to understand hardly anything of the scriptures.
That's right.
And, but they will say evil things about it. They'll talk about it. I think that's what...
Yes. The things of evolution that scientists and teachers in schools and colleges and universities are talking about, do they understand the details of what they're talking about?
No.
No.
They don't. But they speak against creation, don't they? Yet they don't know all the details. How can this happen? See, people have used the illustration of putting a number of pieces of metal or something into a... Into a junkyard, yeah, right. All of a sudden, blow up and comes a car or something. It's just impossible. Just they don't understand. But they think they understand. They can know it all, don't they? And they
In Colossians 1, I think... Even a lot of church people, a lot of Christians, don't understand this. You know, familiar with chapter 1 in Colossians, where it says, chapter 1, 16, Colossians, for by him, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and especially this last phrase, and by him, still speaking of Christ, by him all things consist.
Mm-hmm.
Now run that by your average chemistry professor. How do the atoms consist? Why do they stay in without flying apart?
They're held together.
They're held together, but they're held together by whom?
Yeah.
Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's what the world does not understand.
Exactly. These people that have guesswork as far as, for example, the age of the earth or the age of man, say millions and billions of years, see, where's their facts? The evolution, where's their facts? What has ever evolved from one species to another? See, they don't have any facts. It's faith in science or faith in the Bible. It's both a question of faith. It's not facts, not fact. So they speak evil things that they understand not. As I remember, there's a man on Fox Radio, was on the program the other week, and someone mentioned up the creation thing, maybe 6,000 years ago, something like that, and this man, the Jewish man, just thought that was foolish. Millions and billions of years, he just went out and spoke against that thing. It was a terrible thing. But they speak evil things. They understand not. They've been trained in unbelief. perish in their own corruption. What is corruption?
Decay.
Decay, all right, and they certainly are headed for decay. All of their bodies will be in decay, and all of our bodies will be in decay after death, but these people, in their own corruption, evil wickedness and filthiness, corruption, that's all a part of that evil, I think, that's included. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15 together.
And
shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, and they that have the pleasure to riot in the day of time, but they are in blemishes, spoiling themselves through their own deceivings, already deceived you. Have an eye full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and mark that they have exercised the covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and run astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. By verse 14, and shall, speaking of these same people, receive the reward of unrighteousness. What is that reward going to be for them? What is the reward of these? Hell, right? Do they expect that reward? They don't believe it's going to happen. Does that make any sense, what they believe, as far as God's running the hell? And for whom was hell prepared? The devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for people, but they reject the only way out of hell, the Lord Jesus, then they're condemned. In verse 13, reward right, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. What do people riot in the daytime about? When do riots take place in the daytime, this type of thing?
Governments,
certainly. What about football games? They certainly have a lot of rioting there, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Soccer games.
Ooh, what is the thing when they go back to their back of their car and let down the thing? What is that called?
Tailgating.
What is that? What happens to tailgating?
Eat and drink.
Yeah, that's right. And I think recently there were banned, certainly I forget this one, they banned the tailgating parties because they didn't want to have this corruption. But this is a terrible deceitfulness to reward on it, to say that to take pleasure in riot in the daytime. Now, a lot of times rioting takes place in disruption at night, but sometimes in the daytime, right in the broad daytime. Now, one of the serious riotings of our day is the black-on-white killings and riotings. Remember, what's the knockout game that's popular with some of the blacks today? You know what the knockout game is?
Yeah, you sneak up on somebody and then just punch them.
Punch them? I say, knock them out, see? One blow or whatever. And it's increasing hundreds and hundreds of times all over the country. Is the media speaking out against all this or talking about it?
No.
No, not on television, not on the radio, not in newspapers. But people that know, they catalog all these things. There's a man that's written a whole book on the thing. The black, white, and our government's doing nothing against it. The black and white killing and knocking and smashing. It's a terrible disgrace. So this is similar right in the daytime. They just go ahead and knock people out, knock people to the ground. And sometimes people die. They have a heart attack or something. Sometimes it goes into the path of a train or something else. But rioting in the daytime is not a pleasant thing. And then it mentions here, spots they are and blemishes. What's the difference between a spot and a blemish?
Well, you get a spot out.
Mm-hmm. All right. And a blemish?
The blemish is on the person or the animal. It's a permanent thing.
It's a blemish. And so, whatever it may be, and these are spiritual spots and spiritual blemishes in the Lord's name. And then sporting themselves with their own deceivings. What does that mean? Sporting themselves with their own deceivings. Are unsaved people deceived?
Are delighting in deceiving, cheating, deluding.
Good. Read it again.
Reveling or delighting in deceiving, cheating, deluding.
All right, so this is what they're doing in many places, many ways, deluding themselves with their own deceit and deceptiveness, because they don't believe anything is true, anything's right, while they feast with you. And what does that mean? Yes, Karen?
It talks about blemishes, and it makes me think of the animal that was to be sacrificed. It always had to be without blemish.
Yes.
And so the whole idea that it has blemishes.
Yeah, it couldn't sacrifice it. That's like the Passover lamb.
He said 15 years in the farm yet.
Passover lamb, all right. It had to be what? Without spot or blemish. Yes, that's right. And how many days did they look it over before they sacrificed it? It was about 40. Yeah, between 10th of the first day of the first month and the 14th, look it over, be sure it was clean cut and not anyway blemished. So these are spots, spiritual spots and blemishes, as they feast with you. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Anna?
Do we notice the part about sporting themselves with their own deceivings?
Right. Tell us about that. We mentioned a little bit.
I guess I was distracted.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's just interesting with their own deceivings. It's like it says in another passage, deceiving and being deceived. So we have all these.
Yes.
Lies circulating around. I guess going back to the whole evolution thing. Lots of it.
Yes. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, a comment, a question if you have one. We haven't mentioned that until now, but got anything yet, Dan? Okay, glad to hear from you. As far as deceivings, we have a governor right now that is really deceptive and deceived. You think of the trillions of dollars that have been spent in the last 3.5 years of this president, 4 years, whatever it is, 5 years, I guess, going up to, absolutely not understandable. And certainly that's a deceptive type of thing. And the lies and deceitfulness, it's a terrible thing. So we have a lot of problems with this deception. And people who think they're going to get jobs when you can't get a job if your employer can't hire you more than 30 hours, otherwise you've got to pay for all of your hospitalization, and they can't afford it. So they cut the people, so just 29 or 30 hours, and that's it. So the part-time job, horrible, but they think that's prosperous. That's a deception. It's a deception. They think that's going to bring in business and more jobs. At any rate, this idea of deception, deceiving themselves while they feast with you. We still didn't get that last part, though. Yes, hello? Hello?
Hi, Pastor Wade. Jim Kanani here.
Yeah, Jim, how you doing?
Hi, I got some questions. They're great. I have a question about speaking evil against government. I mean, when our government is kind of like doing all the evil, I guess our government is now the gay marriage and the judges push chugging all stuff at our throats. Maybe we should start praying, the Lord rebuke you, Obama, the Lord rebuke you, all these judges, and get the church praying with the power and get these scoundrels out of here because they're destroying our country.
Yes, well, thanks, Jim. That's a good comment.
Well, I don't know what your thoughts might be on that, but I guess it's hard thing. Our soul gets vexed, I guess, like rock.
Right. Where are you from? What state? I forget, Jim.
Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Let's wave to Jim.
I got your Galatians book this week, and I got the questions on book number 1, number 6.
Good.
They're really great. Thank you, Pastor Wade. Well, I'm glad everybody's there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Jim Kanata from Massachusetts. Wave to Jim. Over in Massachusetts.
He's the one in the red car?
Pardon me?
Is he the one in the red car?
Yes, he's the one in the red car.
The music store or something.
The music, I think he has a music store, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jim, that's a good thing. Yes, we have to ask the Lord to rebuke all these different ones in government. Now, I think that when it says speak evil for those that are in government, those that govern, those that are in charge, speaking evil. Now, let me ask you this question. Is speaking the truth speaking evil? Is speaking truth evil? Yeah, Dan, Anna.
Well, I think sometimes it has to do with the way that we speak truth. I mean, we could go up to a person and we could, maybe they have, food on. They have something, like maybe their hair is all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And so, like you could go up to them and say, you look stupid today. Your hair looks stupid today. Or you could say, here, maybe you should go look in the mirror and here's some hair gel to help you. I mean, there's two different ways of pointing out to them that their hair is a mess. So I think there's a couple of different ways that we could speak truth, that we could say, well, we should be concerned about the way, the direction our government is going, which clearly we should be, or we could, there's just different ways of, I think it doesn't just have to do with speaking the truth, but it also says,
the whole idea of despised government, it seems like it's just the whole concept of government in general, that they despise any kind of rule or any sort of government.
What is that called?
Anarchy.
Anarchy. No government. Anarchy. That's right. No government. So, I think my question was on anarchy. She's right as far as how people react to truth. There's no question about that. A lot of people have a very, very strong aversion to speak the truth, and it's very serious.
I'm not just saying with the reaction, but how the truth is presented.
How it's presented. But the question I asked was this. Is speaking truth evil?
No.
No, that's not that. Okay, we got that straight. That's not evil. So, but do people like to hear truth always?
Yeah.
No, even the Christians, they like to hear truth. A lot of times even Christians. Yeah, what?
I think I'd feel sort of strange if somebody came up to me and said, here's some hair gel, please go cool your hair.
Well, all of us feel strange.
The best and most strange.
Yes, all of us feel
strange. I'm just wondering, but for some...
So you prefer for you to, if you have some important meeting for you to go in...
Well, that'd be different.
Okay, let's...
What if you need a napkin for your face?
I mean, is there any difference?
Do you hand them a napkin?
You know,
or do you just...
Well, depends who it would be. If my mother said, here, buddy, here's something you better comb your hair. Well, that's because I know she cares for me. But some stranger coming up and saying, here's some hair gel, you better fix your...
Well, it's not that, perhaps, from the standpoint of something else, if somebody was lunch or something and they had some ketchup on their cheek or something, and you just passed them a napkin... So
that's okay, that's okay.
And... Because that's what Anna's trying to get at.
What do you say? You have...
She's not trying to... The hair gel, and perhaps, like she was saying, maybe she could...
Well, I'm starting with the food example.
Okay, go back to the food example.
It's okay, different truth. It's okay. Well, what if you say... If that's an illustration. If you call it someone's fault before them, they're going to deny it.
Well, maybe some of the people out there in the internet land can help us. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. That's good.
Speaking evil, what is an example of speaking evil? I mean, and we know what speaking truth is, but what is an example of speaking evil? Is it the attitude in which it's presented?
Yes.
Or is it actually the attitude and a deceit of facts?
Yeah. Well, probably lies would be one way of speaking evil. That's an evil thing to lie. To deceive, that's evil. Evil deceptions. Satan is a very master of speaking evil and being evil himself.
I mean, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners.
Yeah.
And so when we have evil, we speak that evil of dignitaries. What is that referring to? Dignitaries, people that are rulers. There needs to be certain respect for dignitaries.
Yeah. Yes.
But not that they should get a pass in what they do or don't do. You look at the last 50 years of government, or even the last 100 years of government. We'll go back even further. But the point is. During the time of Peter here, during the first century, I mean, there were certain dignitaries that were scoundrels, were evil people in and of themselves.
You didn't need to speak any evil of them. It was quite obvious that they were evil people.
Uh-huh.
But here it's a imperative, speak not evil of dignitaries.
I think that the illustration that would be don't lie about them. Don't have any question that's on truth about them. But I think if we're to be absolutely silent about anything. We have no king but Caesar, as the people said in Lord Jesus' day. I know Paul got in trouble one time. He said, God will smite you, the white and well. Remember he said that? Oh, he's the high priest. Oh, I didn't know he was the high priest. Remember Paul said he got in trouble with that. Yes, go ahead.
I do think that the attitude is important, and that was what I was trying to get at with my illustration, which apparently was misconstrued.
That's the one.
Well, say, for instance, the president, we don't always agree with everything, but if he would come here today and knock on the door, we would be surprised, and we would be pleased that he would choose to come here.
We would hand him a napkin and a bottle of gel. Good to see you.
Shut the door and lock the door.
We might not agree with his policies in politics, but he is the president. His office, it would,
yes.
You know, you get...
But there's one thing to respect the office. But if a scoundrel, a liar, a cheat, a thief is in that office, I think Christians have every right to expose his lies, his deception, and his cheating.
We're not supposed to expose him, but he came to our house.
Oh, no, I
realize that.
See, the office itself is fine. Constitutional has wonderful offices. But a man who trounces the Constitution, smashes it to ribs, cuts it apart, and
does he smash it to ribbons?
Oh, he smashes it to ribbons. First Amendment, Complete Second Amendment, ribbons? Third Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, all these amendments.
And then we can discuss it with him.
Well, fine.
But during the RAC time, the RAC conversation.
There was a president who came to South Jersey and came to a church service in the area.
A Bible believing church.
Start again with the president.
I said there was a president of some years back that came to South Jersey and attended a Bible believing church.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Oh, tell me about that. Bible Presbyterian, did he go?
No.
It was in Belmar.
The president was en route to some place, I guess north. They charted out where he would be. Right around 11 o'clock or 11:45, and they look for a Baptist church, in fact.
Which president was it?
If one had been listening, they might have caught it.
I didn't hear it.
She messed them up. And so she actually stopped at this. It wasn't any big church. It was just a church of maybe 100 plus or minus people.
That's interesting.
And he came, and he stayed for the service, and then he left.
Tell me which one. I didn't hear it.
President Carter.
Well, President Carter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes. So, verse number, we're still on 14, are we? Or we're on 13?
14.
Did we get to 14? Okay. One more thing at the end of 13. I never got an answer.
Well, they feast
what does it mean?
You?
They feast together with you.
Is
what
that referring to the Lord's table, or is that something else?
Well, could be.
Eaten together.
Could be. But they're with you in some way.
Communion.
Can possibly?
Could you probably stop there.
Is that proper to have these wicked people together with us? No. What does the scripture say about
it? Separate.
Be not equally yoked. Together with unbelievers, it's to be separate. That's not the end. So these people were feasting with them. Peter, Apostle Peter, who was very upset about that. And then in verse 14, what about their eyes?
They're full of adultery.
The eyes full of adultery. What did the Lord Jesus say about adultery and eyes?
Weak.
Weak? He said that weak?
Yeah.
What, adultery was weak, or what?
Yeah, weak eyes.
Oh, weak eyes, all right. What else did he say about it?
He said in the book of Proverbs.
Look at him. If you look at him.
He was talking about the woman, the adulterer, and beguiling. It was just basically like this. The simple.
You look at a woman with adultery.
Yes. Well, that's in Proverbs, that's right. But in the book of Matthew, what did the Lord Jesus say?
Oh, sorry, wrong book.
Yeah, well, that's true. But what's it? Matthew, that's right. Proverbs.
Well, the Proverbs, you know, lust not after beauty, lend another, take it with riot, let's continue on. I know that's the difference. We're not, right. That's not what we're looking for.
Yeah, well, that's true.
The full of adultery.
I said it already.
What does it say, Matthew?
Which already said, it's already commented on it.
No, but what
we're adding to it.
I'm asking again to repeat, I don't think we got to the.
Okay, Sheena, what you need to repeat?
If you look at a woman.
There's more than that.
Well, I had it be a little while ago. No, with
lust after the woman commits adultery. I say to you, he's looking at a woman with lust commits adultery in that woman. So the eye is full of adultery. Now, just looking at a woman without the lust, that's a different thing. But the lusting after that woman to want to commit adultery with her, that's where spiritual adultery takes place. Their eyes are, what is it?
Both kind of adulteries.
Pardon me?
Both kind of adultery, spiritual and regular.
Yeah, well, that's true. But the eye is full of us here. But these, what is also true about these wicked people in verse 14?
They can't cease from it.
They can't stop it. That's all they want is wickedness and sin and corruption. What usually do they take along with their evil sins? What usually do they put in their mouths and in their bodies to help them to commit these sins?
I don't know.
Chewing gum.
I don't know.
More than chewing gum.
Chewing gum?
Drugs, alcohol, all these things. But they don't necessarily need that to continue in sin.
No, but that really...
That's not necessarily elements of people that cannot cease from sin.
But people that are in that condition have more greater sins than others, perhaps. But
you have to have drinking.
No, but it's a thing of today when the sinners and wicked people, unsaved people, they shoot themselves up with alcohol, with drugs, with marijuana, whatever it may be, and. Continue to carouse and commit many kinds of thefts. For instance, the one that's on drugs, what does he or she do to get more?
They steal.
They smash. They smash in windows. We had a picture just the other day in the news. This man was using bricks. He was a smasher. He smashed the windows of the stores, go in there and steal. And he's been caught finally. He did that for 10 or 15 different places, I think, in this area. He's a smasher. And of course, if he wants, to, if he gets high on drugs, to get more of the drugs, if he doesn't have any money, he's got to steal to get the money to do it. So, cannot cease from sin. All kinds of sins, all kinds of and beguiling. What does beguiling mean? Questions at bfdbc.org, 856-261-9018.
Deceiving, cheating, deluding.
Right? Beguiling. Where did the first beguiler
in the garden.
Start? In the Garden of Eden. The serpent, he beguiled Eve. And we should not be beguiled or deceived. What things beguile people?
Trickery,
all right. And usually things that are good or well-meaning.
They look good,
but they're deceptive. If somebody says, I'll make you rich, take $1 million in 1 month, is that honest?
No.
It's not honest at all. But people are fooled by that. And so, in fact, we had a man over in China or one of the Oriental countries was just locked up for stealing a $12 million. Jingyi Cho, ends in Cho. Remember him? He's been in the news for many years. He's put away finally $12 million of theft. Talk about unceasing sin. Mm-hmm. Bengi Cho or something like that, since either South Korea or China or somewhere. He's a preacher.
He's a preacher?
Oh, yes. I can't think his last name is C.H.O. Cho.
I don't know him.
But he's been talked about as a very popular preacher in China or South Korea. Was it?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, but unceasing. Beguiling, unstable.
Oh.
So, what does unstable mean?
Oh.
Unstable.
Can't stand upright.
Well, it could be. Can't stand upright. And unstable people are not founded and grounded in the things of fact and the scriptures. Is that right? Unstable.
He says unstable souls.
Unstable souls, all right.
Beguiling unstable souls. Now, of course, maybe they're not unstable themselves, but they are tricking people that are unstable.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Unstable.
You know, they're trying to deceive and influence people, perhaps that aren't grounded. I mean, if they're not grounded, they're unstable. They're talking to them, they're deceiving them. Mm-hmm. These people that have their eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, they themselves are going out to beguile those that have unstable, that are unstable in their soul.
Mm-hmm. So these are influencing other people to be just as they are, with unstability, instability, and lack of foundation, lack of grounding. Unstable souls cannot cease from sin, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. What does covetous again mean?
They want stuff.
Want something else they don't have and are content. What does one of the commandments say?
Greedy. It says greedy.
Thou shalt not covet. Greedy, that's right. And want something. Greedy practices, unstable. A heart. What's the difference between a heart with exercise of covetous practices versus the mind or the head? Exercise, or the hands, or the whole person. What's the difference here? The heart.
I don't know.
What does it mean to be exercising?
Their heart, their whole being, I guess, are covetous.
All right, but what does it mean to be exercised?
Be trained.
Trained and really thoroughly interested in that thing they're moving on for. But the difference I'm asking between the whole body, the mind, the hands, the feet, and the heart. Why is there a distinction between
your inner self?
Well, that is out of the heart from all these evil things. And yes, huh?
All these, like you said, all this evil comes from the heart. Mm-hmm. So the heart is the first thing that gets captured.
So they have heart trouble, do they not? But they don't realize it. They've exercised covetous practice, one more and more and more. If they have to steal, they'll steal. Whatever it is, if they have to lie about it, they get. What's the assessment in the last part of verse 14 of all these people?
Cursed God says, children.
Cursed children. What does cursed mean?
Damned.
Damned, all right. And they're going to be sent to the lake of fire. Unsafe people, obviously. And read 15. I think we read 15, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yes. Yes, we do.
No, we're not done yet, no. But if you're done, you're going to go upstairs. We read that, didn't we?
Did we read 15?
Okay. Now this verse, which have forsaken the right way. What is the right way? How do we define the right way?
The narrow way is the right
way. The narrow way, the Lord Jesus.
The way.
The way, truth, and the life. That which conducts the scripture, yes. Henry?
The way of righteousness in Psalm 1. Mm-hmm. We were talking about unstable souls. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Yes, they're unstable and ungodly, and a terrible thing, it's a disgraceful thing. Cursed children, forsaken the right way, and the right way is found where?
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, and where is he found?
In the Scriptures.
In the Scriptures, the Bible, the right Bible, hopefully, all the way through. So, if they've forsaken that, now, is our government forsaken the right way and many other things? Yes, they are. I mentioned this morning about our Attorney General. He's supposed to be the lawyer that's taking everybody to task and to follow all the laws. He's the top lawyer of our whole country. What has he done with pornography? Yes. What has he not done with pornography?
He's winked at it.
He just lets them continue the thing without enforcing the law. We have laws against pornographic practices. He says, well, that's fine, go ahead. It's terrible. Forsaken the right way. The military, and even our president and many of the states, what is the wrong way as far as sexual relations? Men with men, women with women. What, is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
That's wrong. Scripture says it's wrong, but they've forsaken that right way. And now, within, you know, marriage is between two men and two women. And now they're saying states that have a law that you can't marry, homosexual can't marry. Now the government's saying, strike that down, it's unconstitutional for states' rights, which says that was not spelled out of the federal, reserved to the states. They wiped that out, see. Forsaken the right way. It's a terrible
Civil
situation.
War was about.
What was that?
It's what the Civil War was about, states' rights.
Yeah, that's true. States' rights. All right. Forsaken the right way and gone astray. What's that mean?
Lost.
Gone astray. Anything that's out of the straight right way is astray, isn't it? So here we got it. Oh, the answer to our problem.
Can't help it.
Hi, Rob. What's up? Rob, what are you back from Chicago?
Hi, Rob.
Listening from Chicago, so hi to those there and those abroad. And the whole conversation, the tenor of it is about lawlessness. And it says in 2 Thessalonians, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Yep.
And Jesus said in the end times, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And certainly dignities with cold hearts and working lawlessness, and it's seems to be coming to a culmination here. And those were just a couple verses that came to mind. And amongst the Christian people, it's a spirit of antinomianism and anti-law. Although they will tell you that the main thing about being a Christian is the love. And then they ignore everything else. But as long as you love, then that's what the neo-evangelicals say. But I'm enjoying the Bible study, and it's good to see everyone in there today.
Good, thank you. Bob, let's wave you off in Chicago. Bob Winograd, one of our very faithful friends for many years now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Rob. All right. Well, they're taking gone astray, out of the way, the wrong way. Following the way of Balaam. What is he all about?
He's an idol.
What is it?
He's an idol.
Well, no, that's Baal. This is Balaam.
Prophet.
Baal is an idol, that's right, Bill. Baal. But Balaam was a false prophet. What type of a prophet was he?
He was Balak wanted him to curse Israel.
All right. And Balak was the king of
Midian,
all right, under curse. What did God tell this prophet Balaam before he went to Balak?
No,
you're go.
Blessed.
Oh, go. And finally, people came from the place and he asked the Lord again. What did the Lord say?
He kept asking, and he had already been told.
He'd already been told. He kept asking. And finally, what did the Lord tell him?
Go with him.
About what?
But you'll say what I say.
Say what I say, no more. That's what every preacher says. That's what God says.
And his donkey saw the sword in the way and spoke to it. Well,
yeah.
It took him not immediately.
Way.
A couple times he tried. He saved his life and he smote his donkey. And
how many times did he smite the
three
times? Who was in front of the?
The angel of the sword.
Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord, that's right, he could have been killed. So, finally, did Balaam curse Israel?
No.
What did God say about that?
Bless Israel three times.
He'll bless
them. Yeah, that's right. How can you curse what God has blessed, what I have blessed? Mm-hmm. It's amazing how God in his grace could look at that wicked people of Israel and say that he's blessed. And he looks over all their sins and says, I bless them.
And it would seem like just a few chapters later in the book of Numbers, God then slew Balaam.
That's right. He slew the Midianites, and Balaam, instead of separating from them and going back to home, he stayed there and God smote him and killed them. You're right.
Yeah, wasn't it through Balaam that great sexual sins were committed, and
the
matter of Cosby came as a result of all that?
That's right.
Then a plague came because Balaam prophesied wrongly.
That's right. At the council of Balaam, caused the worship of Baal. Bill talked about Baal, and all the sexual immorality took place at that time. That's right.
A lot of people got killed because God couldn't stand it anymore.
And the book of Revelation talks about some of the churches that brought after the area of Baal.
Yes, uh-huh.
Some people have to have called one of our famous evangelists by that name. Remember that? Billy Balaam. Billy Balaam. And they call it heart. So, going the way of Balaam, following the way of Balaam, in other words, not following the Lord, the son of Esau, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What was that about?
Balaam said he was going to bless him and give him all sorts of wonderful things.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't, because he ended up blessing Israel rather than cursing Israel. Mm-hmm.
So he didn't get it, but he liked wait. Apparently, there's something the Lord saw in his heart.
He was running after it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. In fact, the next contingent, the first one, he didn't go to Balak, but the next guy, I'll give you more and more. I'll give you more if you go. Money. Wages of unrighteousness. Should we follow wages if it's unrighteous wage?
No.
Now, righteously, we could follow if we work, we get paid, so on and so forth. But if it's unrighteous, if it's paid from stealing from somebody or from something else, I'd be very careful. So this is, these people have all these sins. Let's read 15, 16, 17.
16, 17, and 18.
Yeah, 16, 17, and 18, all right. Let's review the dumb ass speaking with man's voice for
bad.
These are clouds without water, clouds that are carried by the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is a burden forever. For when they speak smelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them and live forever. I will stop right here. We'll take this up our willing next Sunday. And verse 16. If you haven't had comments or questions, we'll before we close down. All right, let's close in with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the honesty of the Apostle Peter as he reprehends and reminds and scolds these wicked people that are walking after the flesh with all these sins. We have many that people are like this even today. So we ask thee, Lord, that those of us who are genuinely saved may follow thy way and be close to the things of our Savior, to thy word, that we may please thee in all ways. Guide us and direct us. Bring us back on Thursday for Bible study and next Lord's Day as well. And may we walk with thee according to thy word and not forsake the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank you for coming.
This is interesting. Many of the quotation books.